This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, we preview NXT TakeOver New Orleans, featuring Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa, Aleister Black challenging Andrade Almas for the NXT Championship and the NXT North American Championship ladder match. So, Jake, yesterday we talked about Ring of Honor. Today we are talking about the show happening from WWE at, well, the exact same time. It is NXT TakeOver New Orleans, and talk about a loaded TakeOver card. I'm not sure NXT has produced something this deep in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's only five matches, you know, but yeah. it feels huge. It just in terms of how much quality that the, you know, you can expect from this show. I mean, I guess Andrade Almas has just been so great as the NXT champion. You know, he's just delivered in the ring, you know, with Drew McIntyre and then with Gargano. And so I'm expecting, you know, this match with Aleister Black to be special. And then, you know, everything else is, you know, just almost at that level. I mean, Gargano and Ciampa is going to be just amazing. It's just not necessarily, you know, I don't know what to expect from it necessarily in the ring. I mean, it may not live up to what, Gargano and Almas were able to do, but just the drama and the story heading into this match is fantastic. And every, you know, like I said, the other three matches as well. I mean, there's just so much talent packed into this show, and it's going to be a lot of lengthy matches, you know, five matches over a 2+ hour show. I'm guessing probably closer to three, and it's going to be a barn burner. You know, it's going to be a tough act to follow for, you know, for WrestleMania, and it usually is.
Yeah, I just kind of go to what we were saying at the end of yesterday's show. I don't compare them. NXT is its thing. WrestleMania is going to be its thing. And I think that people will have this urge to really kind of grab on and be like, NXT was so much better than WrestleMania. I bet you anything at the NXT show, you're going to hear better than Roman or better than Mania chants. And those things kind of upset me because I'm just like, man, we get some really good wrestling all the time. Wrestling's the best. Like, why not bring confetti and just like shout wrestling yay at shows if you have the urge to chant better than X at whatever show. That's my soapbox today, by the way. That's what I'm going with.
Well, we all have to join a tribe, and and these tribes have to be.
That's what politics is for. Yeah. Keep that out of wrestling.
I'm all with you, but people tend to, you know, tribalism is a real deal, and when people get married to whether it's an ideology or a wrestling promotion, they just go way out of their way.
And that's why I married Vince McMahon. wait, hold on. So let's run down this card. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in an unsanctioned match. If Gargano wins, he's back in NXT. If Ciampa wins, Gargano's banned for life. I don't know who wins this. I don't know what they do. I was surprised when they did the whole Gargano has to leave thing. I have no idea, but I know I have been so invested in the Johnny Gargano story since I watched that promo where he just shouted the words, I know who I am, that I can't take my eyes off of him. I think he, like, I'm so riveted by every performance he has had since then. And I think Gargano versus Ciampa is going to be another one of those. And I'd say Gargano likely wins just so they can keep the feud on NXT.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult because I can see them wanting to move Gargano up to the main roster too. And, you know, just being banned from NXT doesn't necessarily mean that he's not, you know, able to work elsewhere. Yeah. Or that he couldn't move up to the main show. And in my opinion, I don't know, you know, why you would continue this feud after this match. You know, they've just had, you know, there's just been so much bad blood and it's been going on for so long. Like, it would be nice just to, you know, have some finality and just have it be over. And even if it, you know, ends in a way that, you know, that Gargano doesn't get his revenge. Maybe, you know, there may be some moral victories that he could take away from it up to the main roster, and people would be satisfied. Because I think, you know, Johnny has he has some of that Daniel Bryan type magic as a babyface, where he's just believable and you want to like the guy and you want to root for him. And he has the, you know, the great qualities of an underdog. At the same time, he possesses, you know, just this amazing fire, and it's really something to behold. And I think if you're going to have Ciampa spend a little bit more time in NXT and sort of flesh out his character away from Gargano, then that makes a lot of sense. But I mean, you may be right. They may want to have two or three takeover matches out of this, and it'll stretch out until SummerSlam or something. But I'm hopeful that, you know, whatever happens, that we'll be satisfied and that both guys will see an interesting progression of their characters.
Yeah, and with that, I go back to what I think Hunter said at one point. Paul Hunter Hearst Helmsley Levesque McMahon. Said at one point, at one point. And he said NXT Brooklyn is their, he thinks of that as their WrestleMania. That's their biggest show of the year. The, you know, the others are big, but the biggest one is Brooklyn. And I kind of wonder if the idea is get Gargano and Ciampa to Brooklyn somehow, you know, keep that feud going until you can get it to Brooklyn, blow it off in Brooklyn, and then have Gargano come up the next night on Raw or two nights later on SmackDown. I'm wondering if that's the plan, but man, I'm excited about this. I think that's just going to be delightful. Speaking of delightful, there's a new NXT North American Championship, and the belt looks pretty awesome. I'm a fan of the design of that. It's a nice little throwback, and it does not look like the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And anything that doesn't look like that purple belt, I'm happy with at this point. It is, and that's going to be a ladder match. Adam Cole, EC3, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream in a ladder match for the NXT North American Championship. I guess Triple Paul went into Vince's office and said, "I get the ladder match this year, old man," and just decided all these guys were going to do a bunch of flips.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, we're going to see Cole in two matches on this show.
Yeah.
You know, what an Iron Man he'll end up being if he has major contributions to both matches, you know. And I have no idea what to expect. You know, because, I mean, just the way the card is ordered, you might think that he would be out there potentially back-to-back. Yeah. Or, you
know, at least with five other dudes both times.
Yeah. So it's kind of a wild night for him, but just, you know, loaded with talent, this match is. I mean, I and they have two, you know, I guess four guys that you might think, you know, could get up on a ladder and do something interesting. I guess EC3 is probably marginal. But, you know, Adam Cole, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream, athletic as all get out. And that, you know, they have the bases as well with Dane and Sullivan. So I expect them to make extensive use of the ladders. You know, we'll probably see multiple ladders in play. We'll see some innovative stuff, especially, you know, with how creative Ricochet is specifically. And Velveteen Dream has shown the ability to do some of that too. So there's just a lot to look forward to here. I do agree, the North American Championship, it's a handsome looking belt. That thing. a nice throwback to. I mean, it almost looks like one of the old territory belts in a way. So I like that. I like the direction that they're heading with it. And there's just a lot to like about this matchup. I mean, there's just so many talented people in it. I'm looking forward to seeing how they all gel and if they have chemistry. And, you know, it's the first time we've seen EC3 or Ricochet compete in NXT, you know, in a major match. And so, you know, how they perform and how the crowds respond to them will be interesting to watch.
Who wins this?
I'm sort of leaning Adam Cole, but I think, you know, having one of the debuting stars win would also be a compelling idea. It's just there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of possibilities here. And I'm assuming whoever the winner is will be, you know, immediately challenged by the fallout of this match. So I don't have my finger on the pulse of this one to say this person feels like an out and out favorite. But Cole has just been such a mainstay, and the Undisputed Era has been so important, and I'm just kind of leaning in that direction. I just don't know if they're gonna kind of change the full scale of the way they've portrayed them on NXT quite yet, but I'm prepared to be wrong.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I could see it almost being like the Chris Jericho story, or no, the Edge story in one of the Elimination Chamber shows. I want to say 2009, Elimination Chamber, the one where he attacked Kofi Kingston after being the first guy eliminated from the chamber to lose his title earlier in the night. He won the other title because he murdered Kofi Kingston on the way down the ramp, and still one of my favorite illogical stories WWE ever did. Poor Kofi. But in that, I remember Edge bragging at one point about, I turned the WWE Championship into the World Heavyweight Championship, and I could see Cole going, I turned the tag titles into the North American title. Should the Undisputed Era lose the tag titles? And I think that's an interesting way to go. I'm actually going to pick Killian Dane to win this. They've liked him for a long time. They seem invested in him as a singles act outside of Sanity in a way that they aren't with the other Sanity guys. And I could see Killian Dane winning this and having a bit of a run in NXT before Sanity gets called up.
Yeah, it's a good pick. I mean, I think you're right about the way that they have seemed to take a liking to him more so than Alexander Wolf or Eric Young. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's wide open. My inclinations could be completely wrong, but I'm just hopeful that whatever happens, that it's successful and nobody gets majorly hurt.
Yeah, I hope it is successful. I hope no one gets hurt, and I hope it's really enjoyable. This card has legitimately what could be 5 main events on it, which is absurd. We've got the Undisputed Era, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Bobby Fish, they've reported he tore his ACL, so he'll be cornering Cole and O'Reilly, I believe, but he won't be competing for a little while. And so you've got Cole and O'Reilly defending the NXT tag titles against the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. It's both for the tag titles and the finals of the Dusty tag team championship thing. This is going to be a heck of a match as well. We've seen what Ankum and Razor are capable of as tag champs, and as a really great tag team in these three-way matches. We've seen Strong and Dunn impress on NXT. We've seen the Undisputed Era. Those, Cole and O'Reilly can totally go. This will be really fun, and I think the titles end up on Strong and Pete Dunne by the end of the night.
Yeah, that was my pick too. Although I'm still not quite sure how the Undisputed Era, by winning this match, would also win the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. That was kind of a weird big thing that got thrown into this mix, but I don't expect him to win. I was thinking Cole, might come away with the North American Championship because he ends up losing this one. I think Strong and Dunn end up getting the victory, and I think it'll be, another barn burner. Like, it's just, there's just so much talent in the ring here. Seeing how, Pete Dunn interacts with Cole and O'Reilly is going to be a lot of fun. And the Authors of Pain are always just this credible threat whenever they're in the ring. So I think everybody in this match is so talented. It's going to be tough to have a bad match with this mix in the ring.
Yeah. I've been really impressed by the growth of Ankum and Razor, the Authors of Pain. I think there was a point about a year and a half ago where they were put together, they were squashing a lot of people, and the thought on them seemed to be, they're fine. Like, they're another big man tag team, whatever. And they have proven time and time again to be excellent tag team wrestlers. I think there's a mystique to them that's really fun, and I think they're two of the guys I would expect to get called up after WrestleMania, in a shakeup, or maybe the night after, or on the SmackDown after. And I just hope that they do Ankum and Rezar right if they're going to do that, because these guys have been awesome on NXT, and I think really deserve a chance to be that great on the main roster.
Yeah, I really don't know where they fit on the main roster. Like, it just seems like if they're going to go down the road of having Braun Strowman potentially be a tag team champion after WrestleMania, and the Bludgeon Brothers potentially be tag team champions on the SmackDown side, it's like, you know, there's kind of already these bruiser teams, but we'll see. I think wherever they end up, you know, depending on the shakeup or draft or whatever you want to call it, they'll be major contributors, because they've been excellent every time they've been tasked with having a major match. So I look forward to wherever they end up.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say is keep them away from the Bludgeon Brothers. That maybe wouldn't be the best thing for the moment, and you could really build that as a dream match. Even, you know, if you're looking at Survivor Series matches, I think if they're on separate brands, the Authors of Pain against the Bludgeon Brothers, with both teams holding tag titles and being the monsters they are, could be a really, really fun match of four big men clubbing each other.
Definitely. It's you know, there's just so many like big bruiser teams at this point. Sheamus and Cesaro, and you got Strowman apparently being a tag team all unto himself at this point.
Maybe the strongest tag team in WWE history. Yeah. Give me another team that's flipped an ambulance.
Exactly. And then, you know, there's just three very strong teams in the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. You know, the Usos have been so good, and New Day is New Day. You know, their characters have kind of drifted away from being compelling on a weekly basis, but they tend to deliver in the ring for the most part. And of course, you've already mentioned the Bludgeon Brothers. So there's a good mix of tag team talent on the main roster that the Authors of Pain can mix it up with when they get the call.
And there's even underutilized but still great guys like The Revival, who, hey, they haven't had a good year since being called up, but if they turn it around, you're talking about another really strong team to add into that mix. Wow. And, hey, maybe Sanity gets called up sometime soon. Maybe, you know, there are a lot of wrestlers who could end up called up as well. Heavy Machinery still in NXT.
Here's a funny idea. If Gargano ends up losing his match with Ciampa, he can be Strowman's partner on Sunday.
Hey, that could be fun. If Johnny Gargano jumped off of Braun Strowman, I would not be mad at all.
I still think it's going to be Big Show.
Yeah, I would think so too. I could see it being Big Show. Heck, I could see it being Samoa Joe. You know, I could see it being quite a few guys. Let's talk about this women's title match. Once again, it is Ember Moon defending the title against Shayna Baszler, and they have built this up really, really well. They had Moon barely get away from Baszler, barely escape with the title at the takeover just before the Rumble, and now she has to defend the title against her again. Is this the moment where Moon loses the belt? Is this Baszler getting, or is this kind of Moon getting called up in a way? Because you need opponents for Asuka on SmackDown once she's champion. Ember Moon's a great one to put in there. There's a lot they can do here.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect both of these women to be called up in the next 6 months, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up doing that whole four horsewomen versus four horsewomen thing eventually. Maybe that's a Survivor Series match. You know, I don't know, but I could see Shayna ending up on the main roster sooner than later. But I do think she picks up the win here. I do think Ember's probably on that list of people to be called up after WrestleMania. You know, she's a versatile talent. They still have a lot of work to do in establishing her character. I don't really know what an Ember Moon is at this point, even though she's been in NXT for quite some time now. But she has great matches, and she has history with Asuka, and I think she would make a great opponent in that early part of her title reign when she's still, you know, kind of getting established, and where they can actually make that, you know, that streak feel really, really fun and at risk. And, you know, it's sort of defined Asuka's career at this point in WWE. So holding a championship and having to defend it against an onslaught of credible opponents is going to be a lot of fun. But I expect this match on the NXT show to be another, you know, classic. I think both of these women work well together. They have great chemistry. But Shayna gets the win. Ember moves on, and maybe Shayna follows not that far after.
Well, Jake, as Ember Moon's theme music says, one ember sparks a flyer. Are a fire, when the ember sparks a flame. So that pretty much completely explains her character. No, it doesn't.
If you say so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Shayna wins, and Shayna could be a nice. I think Shayna could be a nice feature in that NXT women's division. Heck, if you wanted to do that horsewoman versus her horsewoman match with Shayna still as NXT champion, if it's say a Survivor Series or a SummerSlam match, I think you could absolutely do that and just be like, you've got Ronda Rousey, you've got the NXT Women's Champion, and the other two. I think they would be absolutely
Roderick Strong's wife.
Oh yeah,
I honestly think you know they may start appearing in NXT at some point. I'm not sure, but I know all four of them have been working out of the Performance Center, so it seems like they're in the process of putting that together.
Yeah, and it's a heck of a match. I think WWE would be really smart to go with that at some point. And I'm really glad it's not Ronda's first match. Finally, the main event of this show, as if that wasn't show enough. Andrade Almas is going to be facing Aleister Black, and this match is going to be insane. Like I look at this one and I just go, all right, well, someone's face is getting kicked off. And I think Black wins. I think it's probably time for Almas, who was rumored to be getting called up in like after WrestleMania last year. I think he was on that list of people that we were basically saying, yeah, you know, it's time for Almas to get a shot on the main roster. And he has completely reinvented himself. He has had amazing matches with Johnny Gargano and just been an awesome character on NXT. And I think he drops the title here and him and Zelina Vega move on to Monday or Tuesday nights.
Yeah, Almas is such a natural. You know, he's just so smooth in the ring. You know,
so and his kilo.
Exactly, his progression in NXT was just from where he was a year ago, 18 months ago to now is just remarkable, and a lot of that credit goes to Zelina Vega for sort of reinvigorating his act and his character and bringing her charm and her personality to it. And they've been a great duo, and I think it'll be a lot of fun to see them sort of take over a division on the main roster. I think, this act could slide right into being a part of an Intercontinental or U.S. title feud pretty much immediately. And so I don't think he retains his title here. You know, I think Aleister Black has been primed and built to carry NXT, and I think this is kind of a coronation for him to do that. I think there's a lot of opponents that would love to knock him off, but I think they see Aleister Black as somebody that they want at some point in the future to be a guy that they can kind of put the company on his back. You know, he just seems like he's that big of a star, that he has that kind of presence, and his character seems fit for that. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how he can do, how he handles being sort of in the limelight in NXT to the point where they're asking him to carry major feuds for the championship. And once that's through, the sky's the limit for him.
I'll say the thing missing from the rebuilt NXT, which is sort of what this is second or third wave NXT, and because it seemed like NXT after Finn Balor, they got Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe to carry the load for a year, but and Bobby Roode for that matter. But it's like then they had to go back to the drawing board and really rebuild with younger talent, with non former TNA and New Japan talent, and they've done that admirably. But the thing that they're missing is that Finn Balor, that guy that is just the front and center. This is NXT. When we say we are NXT, we're saying we are marching behind this guy. And that's who Finn was in NXT, kind of the John Cena of NXT role is where he ended up. And I think that's where Aleister Black ends up, and it ends up being a more edgy version of that, but still the kind of ace of NXT, if you will. I think that's where Aleister Black belongs. They've built him up to be there, and barring injury, I think we could be looking at a, you know, year long or so Aleister Black title reign, and then finally a call up. Or maybe, you know, maybe he's a guy who loses the belt at the Los Angeles Takeover before Survivor Series this coming year. And then Aleister Black ends up at, you know, debuting on the main roster in enough time to make Mania. But I think Aleister Black, there is just so much in his future. He's a guy who can do a lot for WWE and will be a star in that company for such a long time. And this could be one of those big moments for him.
Yeah, I see, you know, I've seen NXT get criticized quite a bit, mostly from people who follow WWE's financials. You know, they talk about how NXT is such a money loser, and it is. You know, they pay people decent salaries to run small events
in Largo.
Yeah, exactly. Around Florida, and occasionally they get out to other parts of the country, you know, running regional shows, and then they run a couple of takeovers a year. You know, it's not a business built to make a lot of money, you know. But when you look at, you know, the star power that they're able to build here, and not only, you know, build for an eventual trip up to the main roster, but stars that, you know, aren't attracting attention away from WWE by working for independence and whatnot. You know, it's just a versatile tool for WWE. So I think the criticism of NXT losing money is valid. I mean, it's a big money loser, but I don't think it's about the money. You know, there's just a lot of a lot of changes in process on the main show that are taking a considerable amount of time, that, you know, you see NXT starting to influence that more and more as time marches on. It's going to be a very different WWE main roster product within the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. It will not resemble what we are watching now, you know, and that's sort of what it brings to the table. And this takeover show is just kind of a preview of that.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of the changes from NXT really influenced the main roster, and we're seeing kind of that process take over the main roster. And I think it's one of the reasons I realized this week while watching Raw, the WWE star making machine is functional again. For a couple years, it seemed really broken and backwards, and I'll be damned if that thing ain't, you know, just revving at almost all cylinders. You're one road dog away from WWE being a really functional place. And it's amazing given how bad things have looked at various points. Summer and autumn of 2013 almost made me stop watching wrestling, man. But they have turned things around spectacularly in a couple years, and are really, the benefits are showing more than ever, I think, on this weekend of shows with WrestleMania and with TakeOver. Jake, first question. What are you most looking forward to on this TakeOver show?
Above all else, I have to say Gargano versus Ciampa. Versus Ciampa. I'm a sucker for a great long-form wrestling story. And I think this is going to be, you know, a nice payoff for what has been a feud that has stopped and started because of injuries and whatnot. And I think they've done a great job of establishing Gargano in Ciampa's absence. And now you have, you know, this killer going after everybody's favorite underdog. And it's just one of those, you know, serendipitous things. It's a great wrestling story, and I'm really looking forward to that match.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Almas versus Black. I can't fault you for going with Gargano and Ciampa, but I think about that match and what it will possibly mean for the future of WWE, and the idea that, I mean, that's a match I wouldn't be shocked to see headlining a big WWE show in 3 or 4 years, for, you know, and it being for the second time ever. And I get excited thinking about that. And so, yeah, last thing, Jake, little bit of a curveball for you. So I can go first if you'd like. But what is making you happy this week outside of wrestling? Because we normally talk inside wrestling, but I feel like this may be a week where people need just a little bit of outside wrestling relief.
Well, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and she is starting to compete in gymnastics, and I get to go to one of her first meets on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to that the most.
Oh, that is delightful.
Yeah.
That's very fun. That was very heartfelt. I'm going to say Jesus Christ Superstar Live on NBC, because it was a really good theatrical thing. But now I feel bad just being like, oh, hey, Jake's like coming up with a personal life. Gosh, I hope my wife doesn't listen to this. She'll be like, dude, we're having a kid. You need to say I'm making you happy.
you are definitely down this road, so yeah, eventually you'll get there.
Yeah, but it's still Jesus Christ Superstar at the moment. it was that good, you guys. Jesus Christ Superstar Live on NBC from Easter. John Legend as Jesus, and Brandon Victor Dixon from he played Aaron Burr. I think he was the second guy to play Burr on Broadway for Hamilton as Judas, and they tore that show down and put it back together. It was something else, and well worth watching if you get tired of wrestling and want to watch some beautiful singing that might be slightly sacrilegious. I think it's on Hulu, so yeah.
Now I feel like I have to go watch it, so I guess I will.
It's completely worth it. It is a little long, as Jesus Christ Superstar tends to be, but it's pretty worth it, especially the end, so... I'd recommend it. With that, I think we're done here. We'll talk to you all after WrestleMania. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.